Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Not on the broadcast.
Oh boy, this is terrible. And I can't let, I don't see any of you on my screen.
Can you hear me tell you that they're reconnecting now?
No, I hear you because I'm on, you're on my.
On the blog talk. Yeah, I'm going to show you.
I cannot hear you.
Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. Yeah, I'm going to show you.
I cannot hear you.
Hold up. Hold up. Hold up.
Okay, I'm in. All right, folks, can you hear me? Professor Louis, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, I'm going to open up everybody's mic, and we're going to start again. And I apologize. I did not have a link to the studio. It is interesting. And I thank you for your patience. Not working. Able to hear that, I'm going to give along colonialism equal nonstop warfare warfare plus colonialism equals genocide. And I am so proud of many of my comrades this evening. They are out there protesting for Palestine. Hopefully, if you can hear me, you know this is a news analysis and an anatomy of oppression. And Brother Ralph is exhorting us that if we don't have the unity to organize, we will not be successful. It was when we organized that we got rid of Trump. So without further ado, I'm going to Louis, and I hope you can hear him. Professor Louis, your mic is open.
Okay. I'm going to do something I don't usually do, play what I played last week, because it didn't sound right and it didn't come out right. Trouble is as close as that siren you hear outside. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Serious trouble that can double in an instant. It's not something distant. Cop car, fire engine, ambulance followed by silence. Guns, knives, fire, heart attack, stroke happens if you're rich or broke. What can you say? We've been taught to look away. It's not our business when other people suffer. We have made a buffer between us and them across the world. It's a common problem. And it's the same with tragedies in far-off places. Can there possibly be spaces in our response? What if it happened in the Bronx? 200,000 dead from the tsunami. Don't bother me. I got my own problems. Will it help me solve them? So it's nothing new. The siren blows for you. And that newscaster on TV coming up on tragedy reports it factually, no expression except maybe fake concern. And when will we learn the newscaster gets paid every day to say what they say, and they're all actors anyway, so don't ask for who the siren blows, for who the ambulance goes. No time to pose in your fancy clothes. Through and through, it blew for you. And when you hear that disaster call, that siren blows for us all. And how far away are you going to go? Can your mind be so slow as to blame the guy who's bothering you on the street because he wants something to eat? Or will you think about why he's homeless, why he got to make do with less and less, and why in one of the richest cities in the world is there even one boy or girl without a home, and the government can't even throw them a bone like a place to live, and they have got to confess there are millions of families homeless, no home to call their home, and who do you blame for the pain? Is it the same to blame the guy on the street with nothing to eat or the ones who put him there? Who is it that didn't care? Who didn't want to share? And we know the guy is crazy, but I defy anyone who isn't lazy to stay one weekend on the street and not start to go crazy. No one to trust, no one who won't bust you, combust you. And who set the homeless guy on fire? Watch the pay, and have got to pay about one half their money on rent. Is it heaven sent, or is it meant to send a message to the landlord and real estate that it's okay, no matter what people say, to treat some of us as less than human? It's okay because business is booming, and in the final end, who profits from there being so people so low? Down below, people without a home, people who can't get alone, no matter how hard they try, it's not you and I who profit from the lost soul. It's worse than cold to think that way, and it's not right anyway. And what you say, and no matter what you say, we should pay attention to the when and where and think about instead who put them there. And now that wherever you go, you think you know that the whistle blows for you, what are you going to do? Will you continue to do nothing, not one single thing about it? Or are you going to shout it from the top of the roof, go and get uncouth about it. When you hear that siren wail, will you do something for the people locked in jail? When you hear that horn blow, will you do something for everyone you know who's on the bottom, so at least they know they're not forgotten? And how is it that you don't know, fast or slow, that there has got to be something better for the children? And if there's something better for them, it's plain as could be that there is something better for you and for me.
Good evening. I just want to say that we're in these types of times where instances of interference do occur. We're up. Hope everybody's listening. Now on to analysis. As you well know, as we all know, what's going on with our students and the assault on our students by the military. This is really preparing the country for an onslaught. We can call it genocide. We can talk about the police department that they're building down in Atlanta, Cop City. We can discuss all these things, but these are realities. These are things that are up and running fast. What we need is more organization. We're going to have to grab for our youth future, our youth. We're going to have to go out as a collective body. That's why I'm calling on people now to join the Black is Back Coalition at BIB.org. Black is Back Coalition.org. I'm also calling on people to pay close attention to these arrests that are being made, these charges that are being put upon those that you know that go along against the colonial mode of production. How your instruments are being messed with, just as they're doing with the programming here right now. When you're putting out the facts and the truth, and you have to get out into your community because you're seeing a disturbance or a disturbance to live in, simply because what? We're economically trapped. This has always been an ongoing saga in the colonial mode of production. So therefore, they call us what, criminals. We're labeled the bad person. But the circumstances are always set up in this country and in France, as well as in the UK. Anytime you start to rise, you practice the freedom of speech, you're mowed down because basically they don't have to respect anything that we say. The fact is, it's time for us to rise as a people, as a force together, as a organized. For example, when it comes to voting, we need to vote as a one force. We have no stake in the game. The shots are always being called. We got the Electoral College. We don't choose anything, but we're told our voice counts. Our voice never has counted. Even after the election of the Civil Rights Bill of 1965, the Voting Rights Bill was passed, it did not count then. They always have a way of persuading us to go in a direction that we didn't intend to go in. And then they come in and manipulate the community. They come in and they create the...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
Yes.
Thank you for hanging in there, folks. Go ahead,
Brother Seattle. Okay, the pipelines to prison, as we were saying, we're all in agreement. And I'm so grateful to be really blessed by all of you on this line. And hopefully we're reaching out to the public, because the public needs to get more involved. You can't wait on something to happen. It's already happened. You can't have fear today. You can't be a coward and expect things to change. You can't wait and see what they're going to do. You see what they do. They're up here harassing your family. It's their business now. They're pointing long rifles at Chairman O'Malley Yesfitela in the chest. If he steps off the curb wrong, they're going to kill him. This is the time that we live in. They're committing genocide in the Congo, Burkina Faso, Haiti, allowing them to report to you and I in the media that there are gangs that are running Haiti. It's not the gang. It is the colonizer. The same thing that takes all of the fuel, all of the resources that come in and say that we're savage. These are, we're dealing with a real savage. Talk about this beat.
Okay, Brother
but we've
Cieno,
got to come together. We've got to come
Brother
together
Cieno,
as a collective. Yes.
I want to thank you for that, for picking up on Brother Ralph's theme. What happened is I can no longer call in. I had to go to my computer to check in. And so I got cut off at some point. Anyway, Sister Lisa, I think you're out there. Did you want to give us a quick report?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Very clear. Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, thank you so much for providing me with this opportunity to be able to give a report on some of the student encampments that I have been fortunate enough to work with. I was at the CUNY encampment on the day that the police came, although I had left an hour earlier. But I do know that they have started a petition. I know that they're filing a complaint. They're not sitting back taking this. I also have had the chance to work with the Rutgers Newark encampment, and I'm so proud of Rutgers. I'm so proud of the Rutgers Newark campus. These young students, the younger generation, they are holding strong. They don't want this world of war and colonialism. They don't want it. And of course, the savages, you know, who control and run this country, they want to force that on them. You know, and I also just want to say when Eric Adams, because he sent in a paramilitary force, which was just ruthless and brutal and ridiculous, we need to know this about Eric Adams, that he had gone to Israel the year before and said he is going to be implementing the strategies that he learned from the IDF. He's going to be bringing that to the NYPD. And I think he lived up to his promise with that quite well.
Well, I want to thank you for that report, and we want to the last four digits are 8595, because I think this person is a commander of the Black Panther Party, and I definitely want to give them a chance to give us a report. We have not heard from her in quite some time. Your mic is open, and thank you for joining us. Rest of you, I'm putting you on hold. But if I get cut off, I'll open your mics up again. All right, go ahead, Mr. Fox. Commander Potts, can you hear me? We can't hear you. Okay, 8595, your mic is open. Last four digits, 8595.
8595 is humble brother Chad Abdul Meek.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go right ahead, please.
I don't know if
your
you were intending to call on me, so. Okay, excellent,
yes.
Excellent. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, I just want to give encouragement to what's going on with the students. So whoever has a microphone, whoever uses social media, whoever uses any type of medium to talk and communicate and work with the students, we need to encourage them not to cave in under the repression. Repression breeds resistance. And for those that come out of the era or vibe with the civil rights movement, continue to do that, because now we're going to talk about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. So all those Uncle Tom leaders out there that talk about disruption, what they're doing is they're disrespecting their icon, their leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was all about disrupting and civil disobedience. And so those Oakland Tom leaders that are parroting their white supremacist bosses, they need to get with the program to realize that this is without disruption, we would still be on the slave plantation. So what we're saying is disrupt, disrupt, and disrupt some more. That's our policy. That's what we want to encourage the college students. We want to get the high school students to do the same thing. We want to stop this genocide. Second to that, I want to say that always bringing to everybody's attention our local organizing and building a sense of self-determination. So while we protest, we must also be building our own movement to deal with our own conditions of genocide here in the United States. We cannot just protest a year later, come home, that situation will be over with. We'll be protesting another situation regardless if it's in Congo or Haiti or wherever, and really what's going to be happening is our stuff is lacking, as it has been for decades. We have no movement that's gelled enough to be able to represent any force that's going to challenge the oppressive conditions that exist. So I'm asking sisters and brothers, whatever means you have, to be on two fronts, supporting the protest and being very mindful of what we need to do internally inside this country. As Jalil Muthu Hakim says, we are our own liberators. If we don't embrace that, then we'll be stagnant in the same position all the time, and that ends up throwing spaghetti at the wall, and we want to make our actions count by building for self-determination. So thank you, Sister Betty, for holding up the torch and the legacy of our comrade brother Ralph Poynter and Professor Louis. I really dig your poems, man. They dynamite. And so I'm here to listen, and I'm here to help. I'm here to support, representing the National Jericho Movement and the Spirit of Mandela Coalition. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. It was just last night that, the call was put out to support this program. I want to remind you that this coming, tomorrow evening, but a week from now, we're preempted tomorrow on the AI, but next Wednesday, Brother from the Black Alliance for Peace will be on to talk to us and to help us understand what is happening, not just in Haiti, but all over. I realize that Gaza is just a stepping stone for the entire reemergence of the NATO domination, outright domination of this planet. So we're hoping that you will join us next week, next Wednesday, to be able to listen to our brother Netzar Freeman. His theme is Imperialism in Blackface from Haiti to West Africa. So please join us on WBAI, Netzar Freeman, Imperialism in Blackface from Haiti to West Africa. And I want to thank again Brother Jihad, Comrade Jihad, I want you to know that we have revised and updated the video of Comrade Ralph's memorial, and it's a smoking presentation, thanks to people like yourself. Without further ado, we're going to go to another comrade, 7785. Your mic is open. 7785.
Hello, everybody. Good evening, everybody. As always, good to be here. Good to be listening to all these words. I want to bring out one point. I just got information on this a little while ago, earlier this evening, so I don't know many of the details or anything, but my understanding is that a long, long held revolutionary comrade and brother, Bronza Bowers, Brother Dawood, who's been in captivity for about 50 years or so, just got released. I don't know the information about it or anything, but that's the information I did get, and I certainly hope it's true. I think it is, and it's a wonderful day whenever a political prisoner is released, and especially when a comrade, a brother, sister, for that matter as well, can endure these decades and decades of captivity and all the suffering and all the struggle just to maintain and stay alive, and then able to walk out those doors and with his head high and his fist strong. And it just goes to show us that fighting and struggling for the freedom of our political prisoner comrades is not only something we need to do and want to do, but it does occasionally produce good results. So I just want to say that, and as we always say in Jericho, free them all, and let me pass it on.
Well, I cannot thank you for that wonderful news. I want to keep it moving before this link goes out. So I'm going to ask one of our professors that gives us an analysis of the situation, if they'd like to chime in here before we shut down for the evening. Brother Joel, your mic is open. And thank you for hanging in there. Thank you very much.
Well, it's been another week of enormous struggle, and we see that the situation in Gaza is once again escalating with the Israeli attack building up in the southern tip of Gaza. And we see that the administration, while somewhat talking out of both sides of the South, is doing nothing but escalating the arms shipments and the money, which is the equivalent of arms shipments, to the forces of the Zionist entities. And we also see that the war at home is escalating with increased attacks on the movements of the students, who have gone from mere protest to expanding their expression of power on the campus itself in response to the repression and counterattacks. There was California, for example, there was a vicious Zionist gang that attacked the peaceful protesters with weapons like baseball bats and lead pipes and so on. Then they show on the TV coverage the police half a mile away pretending that they don't know what's going on. And it shows how the violence abroad is a reflection of a situation in which violence is building at home, in a repression not seen since the 1968, with the actual massacres on the campus at Kent State and Jackson State, not getting as much publicity because they largely or mainly black student body, but nevertheless, the two attacks were, in the words of the governor of Ohio, designed to bring the protest movement against the Vietnam War to a, quote, screeching halt. And there are several bills now in the name of fighting against so-called anti-Semitism that is designed specifically to repress any expression of sympathy or solidarity with the Palestinian people facing this attack. And it means that we have to redouble our efforts, and we have to begin showing up more on the campuses and so on. I say we, meaning the people that have past experience in the struggle to relate to the struggle going on now in the Middle East, to the struggle against racism at home, and the political prisoners, and also worldwide imperialism, which seems to be, again, on the point of escalating the war, not only in the Middle East, but also in the Ukraine and Taiwan. So they're challenging, in a way that peace would lead to World War III, both Russia and China simultaneously. And they just, ironically, it's somebody of the far right, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has been, at least according to the information published in the media, the one who has been doing the most to hold up the funds for these wars. She seems to be more open, though, to the funding the Israelis than Ukraine or Taiwan. But it's ironic that the so-called left wing of Congress has been the one sort of gung-ho for all three. And it also makes us question which party is the lesser of two evils before we just carelessly and glibly decide that, oh, of course, the Democrats are somehow to the left. In a lot of ways, they're moving to the right. And we can't hit stuff. While Trump is more and more openly threatening a dictatorship at home and rounding up all political opposition at home domestically, the Democrats are much more loudly and consistently thundering the expansion of the war, and not only in words, they're actually expanding it while they're in the, while they control the White House. So as we approach the election, we have to again think very hard about that lesser evil theory the degree to which both evils now are conjoined. And because if you think that you're going to have World War III without fascism at home, it's a very naive concept, and also it's falling into the forgetting about the solidarity that we have to have with the rest of the world, because it's a war against all oppressed people in the world, and we should not think of ourselves as being separated from that. And like Christian Bible, as you do unto the least of these, my brethren, so do thou unto me. That's a quote from the from the New Testament. So anyway, I'll leave with that thought.
Well, we thank you, and we confusion that we're having this evening between the computer call-in and the cell phone call-in connection. And it is a terrible connection. I will definitely guarantee you it will be corrected. I want to try and go to, I believe he's still hanging in there, Brother Henry, your mic is open. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me, Sister Betty?
Yes.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. I just want to read an excerpt from an editorial in Workers' World condemning the bipartisan backing between the Democrats and Republicans to continue to fund and support the genocide in Gaza. The movement in the United States that has taken on the challenge of stopping the U.S.-backed Israeli genocide against Palestine has raised three big no's: no invasion of Rafah, no U.S. arms to Israel, no war on Iran. Besides killing or wounding more than 100,000 Gaza inhabitants, half of them children, and pushing a million human beings to the edge of starvation, Israeli bombardments and assaults on the north and center of the Gaza Strip have already driven 1.5 million people to the region around Rafah in the south. Despite desperate to defeat the Palestinian resistance and failing to do so, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's war cabinet keeps announcing plans to invade Rafah. Such an invasion threatens the expulsion, if not extermination, of Gaza's population. It is textbook genocide. Regarding the U.S. role, Genocide Joe Biden, with the enthusiastic cooperation of the Republican Party, as of April 20th, pushed a $95 billion war bill through the House of Representatives. The bill, which the Senate passed on April 23rd, finances a drive toward World War III on three fronts: the U.S.-Israeli genocidal war at Palestine, the U.S.-NATO proxy war against Russia and Ukraine, and the preparation for a U.S.-led war in the Pacific against People's China and the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea. All this to say that this war drive threatens the entire world and on its expansion, and is not seeking peace, but a continual assault on the people of genocide and people who are vulnerable around the world. And so we must continue to resist and oppose this effort to create more death and destruction against people who have nothing to benefit from this continued war in the Middle East.
Well, I
so
cannot
I just
thank
leave
you
it there.
For that. Yes, I cannot thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
It's a computer connection. I don't know why the other connection that I usually use was not acceptable to Blog Talk Radio, but I will definitely straighten this out by next week. I want to return to one of our comrades who was speaking before, because I did interrupt him. All right, Brother Fierro.
Yes.
Okay.
That's okay. I wanted to bring up two points.
Go ahead.
And these are what's happening in Mississippi, the House bill to create a new district happened in Mississippi. While at the same time, we're looking at Baton Rouge, white folks seceded from the black folk in Baton Rouge. But these are just ageless, timeless tactics that are used, and it's economics. Now, I say that because just what happened in Jackson with the water issue, and then the succession from, or should I say the fleeing in the late 90s from Jackson, Mississippi, is the same ordeal we took on or undertook or we were prodded with in the inner city when they did the urban renewal. See, we always want to believe that, and it's a lot of us that do want to believe that, we're going to be all right. And Jiminy, until we look at the fact that we must organize for ourselves and without this Republican or Democratic bull crap, because bottom line, neither one of them served us. So right now, and white folks are nothing. They're not devils. They're not none of those. They're human beings. But they're calling the shots, the rule of law by the colonial, the justice system, because we have nothing of our own. We've got to begin to want to get for ourselves our own. We will only get freedom if we band together. It's a sad thing for me to say. We've got ourselves so distracted and running to this fire and that fire. It distracts us from the very basics of what we need to get to, which is to create our own institutions, which is to, I mean, that by way of educational institutions, by working ourselves. Because right now, as someone said earlier in the program, they are escalating. We're dealing with some mad people doing some mad things all across the globe. yet and still we sit back. Either tomorrow's going to take care of itself, and it never has. We have to make some definitive choices, which take discipline and constant practice. We'll have to get out to these streets and liberate, go to our games. We've got to go to the games. Our strongest warriors in the community. We can't be afraid of ourselves. As long as we have fear, or we say, well, if I go down there, they'll do this to me. We'll never get there. We have to liberate ourselves. That means going down in the ghetto. That means going down in the poorest communities. That means dropping this thing that you think that you have. You've not succeeded. You don't even own your own home. You think you own your home. You don't own your home. This is the United States of America. Did not say United Africa. Did not say United Haiti. The United States, a stolen country by a group of thugs that are still the same thugs today that they were then. These are what we deal with. And we have to really be emphatically true to ourselves and stop running from each other, stop being divided, stop being, I'm up in Congress. Well, you may be in Congress, but you know different than me. They call you the N-word like they do me every day. We're at war, and we need to do some discipline. We need to study, but we need to do it together. And I'll say that, and I'll say Uhuru.
Well, Uhuru, I cannot thank you enough. I want to let you hear something from Mamiya.
Learned well, the only university course worth its while. The revolution throughout the United States, throughout the territory stolen from Israel, looking the mass graves of Gaza in the eyes of building the only space worth its while, liberation zones. They are claiming that their universities divest and cease exchanges with a fascist country. Any fascist country committing genocide, staring the mass graves in the eye, they uphold and the right to bury with ancestral rights those slain. So it will be the prisons where guards are recycled to the Gazas of the world, the prisons where the slaves of forced labor produced the munitions that killed their comrades, freedom fighting across borders. The prisons where the captured undergo Palestine-tested torture. The prisons where the prisoners are hidden from sight. The prisons where our daughters and sons from the campuses are being locked up today. It will be the unliberated prisoners. Turn next time. You've been listening to the words of Julia Wright and her poem, The Prisons, next time. With love, not fear. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal. Are recorded by Prison Radio.
Well, I want to thank those of you who hung in there with us tonight. I'll open up your mics for some closing remarks. As you can tell from the static, we're on a different link. I don't know why they switched it or changed it. So whoever wants to go first, feel free to chime in as we get ready to play our closing. Exodus 3, to Palestine. Any closing remarks?
Uhuru,
everybody. Yeah. And I want to thank you for hanging in there tonight.
We are winning. We are winning.
Well, every time we continue to be who we are, the same with our strength and our solidarity, that is a victory. So from that point of view, I would have to say, yes, we are winning. The steadfastness of the people who called in tonight and stayed, no matter what was happening with the technical difficulties, that was a victory. And I thank you.
Yes. We thank you, Hello. Sister Betty, for hanging in there.
It's going to get better. Good night, folks.
Good night.